Welcome to this week's midweek message. And what we're going to do is we're just going to go into the Word. And if you want to grab yourself a coffee, then I give you permission to put me on pause for a moment. But please do come back to me. And we'll just go into the Word and have a look at what God has got to say to us. But let me just pray to start with. So, Father, thank you for this opportunity that you've given us, Lord, to come to hear your voice. And it's your voice that we want to hear, Lord. It's not the voice of a man. We want to hear your voice in our hearts, Lord, so that it brings us life. And so we thank you that you have sent the Holy Spirit for that reason. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you in the name of Jesus, and we open our hearts to you, Lord, so that we will be guided and led by you. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, as I say, welcome to this week's midweek message. And we're going to have a look at Psalm 91 in a moment. But let me just share with you why I'm going to Psalm 91. What I feel on my heart, and I have felt it now for a couple of weeks or so, is God saying that we mustn't become complacent. It's great news that things are starting to improve as far as the situation with the plague, as we know it from the Bible, is concerned with this COVID-19. But we mustn't become complacent on either fronts, really. On the practical side of things, we still need to be careful and be taking the advice that we're given, etc. But we also need to be not to become complacent on the spiritual side of things as well. Because the Bible tells us that there is a reward for being diligent, a reward that makes us rich, that we will find life, that we will find God, as long as we're diligent in these things. Now, many of us have been declaring Psalm 91, even possibly before this crisis started. But certainly many millions of Christians will be declaring that psalm during this period. And Jill and I are doing it on a daily basis. We're declaring that psalm as well as other scriptures over ourselves, over each other, over our family, immediate family, as well as over the church family. And that includes, obviously, Alex and Jane and their family as well. And that needs to continue. It's important for us not to become complacent. So let me just ask the question to start with. Why do we declare things? Why is it important to declare things? Well, to start with, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us that the word of God is living and active. That the word is living and active. And what that means is that word living means that it's got the life of God in it. The very life of God itself. And the word active means that it's energized. It's got energy. It's got power. So, for that reason, we need to be declaring and really sending out this life of God that's in the Word into our circumstances and into the things that we are challenged with. And then we have Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, that tells us that in the same way that rain and snow come down from heaven and that they don't return there without having an effect on trees and plants, etc., so that they're able to produce seed and produce food. Well, God guarantees that in the same way that there's that physical, natural law in place, and, you know, nobody would think that law is extinct or anything, it's still in operation. Well, God is saying, in the same way that you see that law working, the spiritual law of my word going forth from my mouth works just the same. It's not going to return to me empty. It's not going to return to me void. And so it's important that we send it out in the first place. And then the other factor is that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as we declare the word of God, we're hearing the word of God, even though we ourselves are declaring it. And that brings faith in here. And it's that faith that comes from the word. Because as the word is sown into our hearts, faith comes and it will produce fruit. It will get the job done, basically. Declaring the word of God is not a case of we're trying to get something to happen. That's not what it's about, because that's a works-based mentality, thinking, if I do this however many times a day, then this will happen. No. What we're doing is we're declaring what is already true, because the word is true, and already accomplished and fulfilled in Jesus. Because Jesus in Matthew 5:17 says, do not think that I came to abolish the law and the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. So the work of Jesus has already fulfilled the word and the promises in the Old Testament. And now we get to partake and participate in those because of his work. And then we have 2 Corinthians 1:20, that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. Not will be yes and amen, but are. These promises are already ours, and we're declaring what is ours. So let's just take some time to just go into Psalm 91. Obviously, this is just going to be a highlight, because there's so much in this. But I'm just going to, as if we're going to a fruit tree, and I'm just going to pick a little bit of fruit from it that will hopefully encourage us. So let's just start at verse 1, where, now the translation I'm using is the New American Standard Bible. So translation will probably be different to the one that you're using. But this is what my Bible tells me, that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And that word to dwell is really, really important, because it means that we make our home there, that we're not just visitors, but that we actually dwell there. So a question that I would ask, that I would encourage that we ask ourselves is, do I actually dwell in the shelter of the Most High? Am I actually spending time in that place with God? Because these promises are for the person who is willing to dwell in that place and to spend time and not be a visitor, in that they'll visit a couple of times a day and then for the rest of the time they just get on with their own lives. No, these promises are for the one who dwells. And the promises, the first promise is, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And when you think of a shadow is cast by a light behind somebody, and you're then in that shadow. But this is not that type of shadow that Psalm 91 is talking about, because there is no one greater than God, and God is light, and so the shadow that he casts is light. So being in that place and being in the shadow of the Almighty means that we're in his light, because there's no darkness in him anyway. And then I will say, verse 2, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And that declaration there again, you see, I will say to the Lord, not I will whisper to the Lord, or I will think it in my head to the Lord. I will say to the Lord, words come out of my mouth, that you're my refuge, you're my fortress, you're my God in whom I trust. And again, we need to just pause there for a moment and ask ourselves the question, do I trust God? Am I willing to put my trust in God as my refuge and my fortress with regard to these promises? Verse 3, for it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper. Now, the snare of the trapper can be in various ways. You know, we're talking about, there are email scams, there are text scams, phone call scams, all sorts of traps that the enemy will, and those are only the ones that I'm mentioning, you know, with regard to the digital age that we're living in. But there are so many traps that the trapper, so many snares that the trapper will try and trap us with, that here is God saying, I'll deliver you from those, no matter what they are. And then, of course, and from the deadly pestilence, which includes this coronavirus, but it's not exclusive to it, because there are other pestilences as well throughout history. And, you know, we may well, I'm not going to speak that, but there's that promise of deliverance, being saved and be delivered from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. So God is saying, I'll cover you with my feathers. And under his wings, you may seek refuge. There's an invitation there from God saying, you may come and seek refuge here from me. That's beautiful. And, you know, if we've got any wisdom, even the smallest amount of wisdom, that's where we're going to seek refuge, because the invitation is there and we will run to that place, hopefully. And then his faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. And as we think about the things that God has done in our lives and his faithfulness in bringing us through things, that will surely encourage us that in this instance now, his faithfulness, because we've proven it in the past, is a shield and bulwark. And then verses 5 and 6, we will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. And that's a choice, really, because fear of these things, fear of what's going on in the world, will try and come upon us. But it's a choice that we make, that we say, well, no, I trust what God is promising in his word. And so I choose not to fear these things that are out there. And it is a choice. And we have to voice that choice very often. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, which is unfortunately what we are seeing out there. But it shall not approach us. That's a tremendous promise. For the one who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, but it will not approach us. We'll only look on with our eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. And the wicked is just a descriptive term. It's not a term of judgment, because, you know, there are many good people out there that have been affected by this. So it's a descriptive term of somebody who is outside of God. But we all of us at one stage in our lives were outside of God, and we were wicked, as the Bible describes. And that place of being wicked is we're outside of the place where is perfect, which is God. But we, by the grace of God, have been invited into that place. And we're in that place now of holiness and righteousness and sanctification. And everybody has that opportunity of coming in there. For you have made the Lord, verse 9, for you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. Which is saying that if we make the Lord our refuge, if we seek him for our refuge, then the Most High God becomes our dwelling place. And nobody can penetrate his armor. Nobody can bash down his front door to get in there. So if we make the Lord our refuge, the Most High becomes our dwelling place. Which is why then we have verse 10, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. See, God's got the confidence to say, make me your refuge, make me your dwelling place. My guarantee then is nobody will harm you, because you're in me, and they won't get past me. You know, he's sort of a bit of a bouncer in a way, in that he stood at the door and he's saying, no, you're not coming in here. My children are in here. Those who love me are in here. Verse 11, for he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And Psalm 103 tells us that angels obey the voice of his word. So angels have to obey this charge that he's given them to protect us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands that we do not strike our foot against a stone. And I have personal testimony and personal experience of this, in that probably about 3 years ago, I was having a walk on Sully Beach, and it was quite cold. I had my coat on, I had a hat on, and my hands were in my pocket, my coat pocket, as I was walking. And for those of you who know Sully Beach, it's very rocky, and these rocks can get slippy when the tide's gone out. And I was walking along, and I had proper walking boots and everything on. And the next thing, I lost my footing, and I had my hands in my pocket, lost my footing, and I went face down, bump, like that. And I didn't even have time to respond by putting my hands out. And miraculously, and it is miraculously, I didn't suffer any damage. The only damage was a little bit of embarrassment, that if anybody had been watching or looking, you know, it was a little bit embarrassing. I got up and I was a bit shaken and realized what had happened. And I sort of checked myself over on my chest, etc. And there was nowhere hurting. And then, you know, it took me about 10 minutes to carry on walking and compose myself. But I had no damage whatsoever. The potential of damage was huge because I went straight down on my front, on my chest and on my face. But I had no damage whatsoever. And that was, so I've got experience of that promise. And then verse 13, you will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. And earlier on, I referred to Matthew 5:17, that where Jesus says, do not think that I came to abolish the law and the prophets. And we're looking at the prophets here. Do not think I came to abolish the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill them. So this promise here, you will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Jesus has fulfilled, because that's why you can say in Luke 10:19, behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. So this is, Luke 10:19 is the fulfillment of this, just as Jesus promised, because he's given us his name, he's given us his authority, and we are meant to tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. And then we have verse 14, because he's loved me, therefore I will deliver him. Now, do you love the Lord? He loves us first, as the Bible tells us, but then because he pours his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we're then able to love him. This promise is for us. If you love the Lord, and I know that the great majority of those watching this can say, absolutely, I love the Lord. This is the promise. Because he's loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I'll set him securely on high because he has known my name. Remember, Jesus has fulfilled these scriptures, which means he has set us securely on high because we know his name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. See how God goes the extra mile. When we're in trouble, it's usually enough for us to be rescued, to be brought out of that place of trouble. But God goes the extra mile, takes us higher. He says, I will be with you in trouble. I will rescue you. I will rescue him and honor him. He's going further than just the rescue. With a long life, I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. That word satisfy means to have a fullness, to have an abundance. And let him see my salvation. Let him see my Yeshua, which is a complete deliverance in every area of our lives. Deliverance from sin, deliverance from sickness, deliverance from pestilence and danger and lack, etc. That's what that word means. It's very, very rich. So that was just a quick tour, really, of Psalm 91. And what I want to finish with is just to encourage us to personalize Psalm 91, to make it our own, to speak it over ourselves, our family, and just to actually engage with it. And that's what I'm going to finish with now. I'm going to read it through again and personalize it in a way that hopefully will encourage not just myself this morning, but also encourage each and every one of us and encourage you to personalize it for yourself. And then we'll close in prayer. Lord, I dwell in the shelter of the Most High, and so I abide in your shadow, the shadow of the Almighty. And Lord, I say to you that you're my refuge, you're my fortress, you are my God in whom I trust. And Lord, thank you that you deliver me and my family and my church family. You deliver us from the snare of the trapper, no matter how that looks, and from this deadly pestilence, Lord. Thank you for your promise of deliverance from this deadly pestilence. And Lord, thank you that you're covering us with your pinions, because it is under your wings that we seek refuge, Lord, during this time, but continually. And Lord, your faithfulness is a shield and bulwark to us. We've got an experience of you being faithful to us in the past, and your faithfulness to us will shine through here as well, Lord. And because of that, we're not afraid of the terror by night or of the arrow that flies by day, of this pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. And even though 1,000 fall at our side, Lord, and 10,000 at our right hand, this pestilence, this COVID-19 does not approach us or the ones we love, because we're speaking your word over us. We only look on with our eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Lord, we declare to you this morning now that, Lord, you are our refuge. And because of that, the Most High is our dwelling place. No evil can befall us, nor can any plague come near our tent, because the Most High is our dwelling place. And Lord, we thank you that you've given your angels charge concerning us to guard us in all our ways, and that you've commanded them to bear us up in their hands so that we don't strike our foot against a stone. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us the authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We can trample down because you've given us your name. Lord, that's a wonderful thing, and we thank you for that. And because they love me, says the Lord, I deliver them. I've set them securely on high because they know my name. And when they call upon me, I answer them. I'm with them at times of trouble, not only to rescue them, but to honor them. Thank you, Lord, for your deliverance and rescuing us and honoring us even in this situation. And Lord, thank you that with long life, you satisfy us and you show us your salvation, Lord. Your salvation, that complete deliverance, Lord, from everything that tries to threaten us. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Because it came at a cost to you. It came that you had to lay your life down and suffer and shed your blood for us to have these promises, Lord. And we honor you in that. And we give you all the praise and the glory. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So thank you, church. And hopefully that's been an encouragement. And I'm sure we'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.